Welcome back to the local Minnesota Radio Hour. I'm Hunter Haas. Tomorrow morning, Bernie Sanders is in town to hold a rally for Keith Ellison and his campaign for Attorney General of Minnesota. Joining us now is Congressman and Vice Deputy Chair of the DNC, Keith Ellison. Hi, Keith.
Hey, good to be on, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you. And I wanted to tell you a story, actually. Back when you were a state rep, you held a rally with Jesse Jackson in North Minneapolis.
Yeah. And I do remember it.
At that rally, you registered me to vote. So,
well, I'm honored to have done that.
Yeah, you are responsible for creating this monster.
Well, you are a monster towards injustice, but a hero for people who are trying to do the right thing and respect everybody. So thank you for what you're doing out here, man.
Yes, and thank you again. And also, you said something years ago to my mother that stood with her as an inspiration. She still talks about it today. Back at that same time, North Minneapolis was going through a lot of murders of young people. It was a thing that happened day after day. And at the time, she was a journalist for Insight News. And she went into the North Minneapolis Urban League, and you were sitting there, and she came right up to you and go, "How do you do it?" And you knew exactly what she was talking about and responded calmly, "I eat well, I get enough rest, I exercise every day, and I pray every day." And I wanted to ask, is that still your regiment today, and how does that self-care help you for your current battles?
Brother, that's my secret sauce, man. It really is. I'm not one of those people who tries to impose my religious beliefs on anybody, but prayer, meditation, being in nature, solitude, quiet, I absolutely swear by it, and I encourage it. And anybody who is dedicated to a fairer, greener, more just world, I'd say take care of yourself, put some gasoline in your tank or fuel in your tank so you can get back out there and be good for others as well. And if I may go back to your first topic about when you registered to vote,
yeah,
that was my privilege to do. I regard it as a favor you did for me. And I will tell anyone who's looking for a feel-good moment for themselves, is to go register somebody to vote. Go register a young person to vote. Go register a new American to vote. Go register somebody to vote who's never voted before. And then if you can, take them to the polls for the first time. There are very few joys in life greater than that, because you look at somebody's face and you've just helped connect them to their power. And it's just, to me, it's a thrill. So in this election season, you know, you have the chance to go register folks, get folks to the polls, and you don't know what kind of leadership that person may offer. They may be the host of an important political radio program one day. So I'd say thank you for giving me the honor of registering you to vote, and I know you've returned that favor many times fold by registering other people to vote. And I just say to anybody listening to this show, it's a thrill, and you ought to give yourself that treat to help register somebody to vote.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Best way to change the world. Now, many were surprised when you decided to leave the safe congressional seat and pursue the crowded attorney general primary and the statewide election. Tell us, what are the duties of the attorney general, and why do you think it's a better fit for you to serve the people of Minnesota?
Well, because I think I can help more people quit more quickly. So, as a member of Congress, it's a great job, and it's an honor to serve. But if something, say, for example, the separation policy of the Trump administration occurs, as a member of Congress, you can file a bill to change it, but unless you get 218 people and then get the Senate to pass it and then get the president to sign it, you're not going to be able to do something meaningful in a short period of time. But as a Minnesota attorney general, I can join with other attorney generals and sue the president. And I can do that. And I can stand up for people when corporate power is rolling over them. If a big company is opening up accounts in your name that you didn't even ask for, if they are charging you hidden fees you didn't even know and they didn't disclose, then your attorney general can say, no, you're not going to treat our people that way, and could fight back on your behalf. So I think that I'm just in a position as Attorney General to render more service in a more expeditious and quick way to help people in a short period. That's why I'm doing it.
Now, tomorrow you have two rallies with Bernie Sanders. Tell us more about the events.
Yes, I do.
And then tell us about your relationship with the senator.
Well, Bernie is a buddy of mine. He's a wonderful guy, very smart guy, passionate guy. He's a service-oriented guy. Bernie is the kind of person who he understands why I'm running, because he knows that, you know, some people say, well, hey, Keith, you could be a speaker one day. You could climb the ladder and do be this and have this title and that title. Bernie understands that none of that kind of stuff really matters unless you're going to actually do something with it to help others, right? There's a whole lot of people who have tremendously big ambition but don't plan on really doing anything for anybody. They just want to be the subject of praise themselves. And Bernie gets that. He understands service. He understands being in public office so that you can do good for people. And so, you know, me and Bernie kind of get along because we're coming from the same place. When people say, Bernie, it's not the savvy political move for you to, to stand up for health care for all, or to say that a job, there ought to be a federal job guarantee, or, you know, it's not the savvy political move for you to not go to the big giant donors and ask them for a bunch of money. But, you know, you're over here trying to have your campaign funded by small donors. That's not the conventional wisdom. That's not the way it's done. Bernie is the kind of guy who I admire because he doesn't do what the conventional wisdom says. He does what his heart tells him he needs to do based on conversations with other people who are struggling to make it work in this economy. He's my kind of guy. And so when I asked him to join me tomorrow, he said he'd be happy to do it, not only to help me, but to really sort of spark up our energies around here as we start, you know, getting closer to these elections. You know, as you know, Trump was just up in Duluth a few weeks ago, and he was in Moorhead and in Fargo a week later. Bernie Sanders is a national political figure who understands the importance of doing rallies, of increasing energy, of getting people to be hopeful and optimistic about changing this country around if we will get involved. He understands that when leaders like him don't get out there and don't, you know, inspire the people, then cynicism and hopelessness and demoralization can seep in. So he understands that, yeah, he's helping his buddy Keith, but it's beyond the friendship thing. He's actually helping keep Minnesota the progressive place that we've grown to know it to be.
Now tell me about the venue choice. The first rally's in Minneapolis at 9:30 at First Avenue. That's a unique place to a political rally.
Well, you know, Dana Frank is the owner of that place, and she is a humanitarian first. She is a person who believes in the civil and human rights of all people, and she also, you know, understands what it means to facilitate art and artists. And, you know, I've always thought to myself that, you know, we need to combine progressive small business people with artists, with politics. And so it's a perfect venue. You know, we'd love people to be. If you're going to be there, please join us. We'd love to have you.
I will be there.
But I can tell you that it sort of works for us because it signals art. It signals the people. It signals it's a collaboration with small business, Minnesota iconic place where, you know, Prince got his start, and plus progressive grassroots politics. So it's like a perfect storm for us.
Yeah, I am very excited. It's going to be a very fun event. Now, I have a question. If you become Attorney General, how is that going to affect your position as Deputy Chair of the DNC, and what are your plans in regards to that position?
Well, I'm still on the road of reform for the DNC. I'm still committed to making the DNC a grassroots institution which promotes all Democratic and progressive candidates, that is close to the people, that emphasizes small dollar donations, and we don't depend upon the big dogs to dictate our politics. I'm committed to, you know, improving its communication capacity, and building up state parties all over the country. So it's that's a long-term struggle and I'm committed to it over the long term. I think that as Minnesota Attorney General, I can help elevate the importance in the minds of people of the job of Attorney General all over the country and help folks understand how critical it is to have a people's lawyer on the side of the people in an age when so much is threatening their rights and their economic lives. So I think it's going to be fine. I'm going to do both. I plan on doing both. There's no conflict. I'm an energetic guy. I'm a hardworking guy. And, you know, I'm the kind of person who has the capacity to get a lot done. So I'm going to keep it up.
Now, what's your forecast now for a lot of these statewide races across the country for the Democrats? Because we lost a lot of ground during the Obama years. So what do you see 2018 in these midterms for those races?
Well, just so people have some perspective on what you're saying, is that, you know, from 2008 to 2016, we lost about 1,000 state legislative seats. We've won back about 50 of those. We're on the comeback trail because we've been investing in local races. We invested in Alabama, in New Jersey, in Virginia, in a whole lot of other places. We've invested in municipal races. You know, the DNC used to have its mission as electing a Democratic president. Now the mission is elect Democrats up and down the ballot. So things are looking very good. You know, people are getting out. They're knocking. You know, it all started out with the Women's March. You know, the women got out there and are showing the way towards respect, towards human rights, towards possession of their own bodies. And they got out there early, and many of them were reacting to the absolute misogyny of Donald Trump. But the women that got out there so quick ended up inspiring young people, and you see the Parkland kids getting out there. They're registering young people. And then you got people who are offended by the attacks on science, and there was a March for Science. Then you see folks getting out there on all kinds of issues. And so, you know, it all started with the Women's March, but the energy is out there, and people know that we've got to convert the protest energy into the ballot box. It's got to be converted into the ballot box, or, you know, Trump just gets to keep on rolling over people and letting his cronies continue to inflict harm on people. So that's really the main idea. We know that if you look at a Republican voting pattern over time, it's a fairly consistent line. If you look at a Democratic voting pattern over time, it drops off in the midterms. It skyrockets in the presidentials, and it drops back down. We've got to stop this. We have got to vote our interests all the time. We've got to say, look, you know, we're not voting for the personality. We're voting for the principle, and we're looking for a party that's going to stand up for fair economy, human rights for all, respect for the environment.
We're speaking with Congressman Keith Ellison and candidate for Minnesota Attorney General. Now, me and Eric were just talking about the Supreme Court pick and how it's kind of out of our control, but you actually have a possible strategy for combating this pick, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We're thinking about what we can do to push back. And let me just say this. The one thing I would say to any progressive listening to this show is please abandon the idea that the odds makers on a political issue are the ones that you should listen to. If you're going to get up there and fight for a fair Supreme Court, don't do it because you think you can win. Do it because it's right to do. Do it because it is a matter of principle. No matter what the odds are, it is just and it is right and it is proper to have fair justices judging in our court system. Because if you say, well, we'll only fight if we think we can win, then, of course, the other side is going to try to convince you that you can't win. So what are you going to do? You're going to quit? The truth is that you improve the odds of justice prevailing by struggling, by getting out there, by organizing. You improve your odds just by doing that. So always give yourself a chance to win, and always give yourself to earn victory by working hard. So given that, I think, look, we need people all over the United States to go to all 49 Democrats in the Senate and say that, look, you know, with a president under this kind of criminal and corruption investigation, They should not be able to appoint a Supreme Court justice who's going to simply perhaps fall in line to protect them from accountability. And so then we need to put pressure and raise up the temperature and get people involved in those states to pressure Susan Collins, pressure Lisa Murkowski, and other people like that. If we raise our voices, if we put the pressure on, you don't know what's going to happen. Everybody said the Affordable Care Act was toast, but we turned up the temperature and we changed that outcome. Now, I'm not saying I can guarantee victory. I don't know what the future holds. I do know that when we fight, we win. I do know that when we won't fight because the odds aren't in our favor, we will lose. And so put it all out there, organize. You put that pressure on, and we just might get it.
Now, Keith, you're an extremely busy guy, and in fact, tonight you're hosting a community forum on healthcare at 7 p.m.
Yes.
At North Point Health and Wellness Center in Minneapolis. Before we go, why don't you run through all your upcoming events and rallies where people can find out more information, and then give us some last words on the Attorney General race.
Well, thank you. Well, let me just say that it would be awesome for you to come on out tonight to North Point, which is right over there on the north side of Minneapolis, right near the Urban League, Plymouth and Penn. We're going to be talking about Medicare for All. One of the best leaders around today, a guy named Adi Barkin, who was one of the great Occupy leaders, is in town. We're going to be doing this thing together. Adi is facing and fighting ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he's just an inspiration. So we're going to be doing that together. Come on out if you want to learn more about Medicare for All. And then tomorrow we got two rallies. One is going to be at the First Ave. Come on down. Hear my man Bernie Sanders give his vision for a fair and inclusive economy and society tomorrow morning at First Avenue, the iconic club that launched our own Prince. And then if you're in Duluth tomorrow evening, come on down. We're going to be rallying in Duluth. We believe in one Minnesota, metro and greater together. We don't leave one without the other. And we're going to be rallying with Bernie there. So please join us if you can. And then, we're just going to be out there knocking doors, talking to people. We're working hard to get volunteers in, because we need them to help us reach out to more and more and more Minnesotans. And it's not only to win an election. In fact, I think we dwell on winning elections so much that people think that's all we really care about. My campaign is about reaching out to Minnesotans, build relationship with them, and talking about how we can build a more inclusive society, a fairer economy. And, I believe that each one of us, each person in this world is an expression of the sacred. That's my belief. And I believe because of that, they all, each one of them, are entitled to dignity, respect, and have to be treated with care. No matter what the system may mean, these things are important. So I ask folks to join the campaign. Go to KeithEllison.org. Sign up to volunteer today. We need a lot of people because we got to reach out to a lot of people. So KeithEllison.org, sign up. Whether you're in greater Minnesota or in the metro, we need you, we want you, and we're going to make a better society together.
Well, Keith, it was truly an honor speaking with you. Best of luck with everything, and keep up the good work.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.